Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I'm excited about having Lynn Morella back on the show, ladies and gentlemen, because Lynn is a very important member of our Brain Trust. He's the founder and president of the Center for Leadership and Ethics. He talks about his vision for heightened public awareness and exemplifying the fact that real success is built on the foundation of integrity, ethics, and character. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, In Search of Ethics, Conversations with Men and Women of Character. He's the guy who has taught us that ethics is devotion to the unenforceable. Len, welcome back to the show.
I'm glad to be back, Jim. Thanks for inviting me.
It's good to have you back, and I quote you all the time about that, and I love that little nugget. That little nugget is a very handy one to carry around, that ethics is devotion to the unenforceable, and it's a good companion to what Albert Camus said, the French Nobel Prize winner, said, integrity has no need of rules. That's it. Those two go pretty well together,
they sure
don't they?
Go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. If we
had a lot more integrity across the board, we wouldn't have so many laws. We would have so many regulations.
You know, earlier in the week, I did an interview with our financial planning expert, Rick Pinion, and we talked about some of the written ethical requirements of that profession. And I pointed out that attorneys have those, doctors have those, architects have those, accountants have those. These are all professions who have – somebody's taken the time to sit down and write down how these people should behave. And I just think that's interesting. I mean, I know that that's important, but it's interesting that you know, I keep coming back to what Albert Camus said. Integrity has no need of rules.
You're absolutely right. And what happens is they start complying with the specifics of the rules as opposed to thinking about the importance of being, you know, honest and ethical across the board.
Right, right.
They start compartmentalizing, you know, private ethics with public ethics, with business ethics, with legal ethics, and there's no such thing. There's only ethics.
Right. What are some things you've been up to lately?
Well, I was at the military academy on the 3rd of July.
You speak a lot at the U.S. Military Academy.
Well, I do. I'm a graduate of the military academy, so whenever they ask me, I come back. And the class of 2009 showed up there on 26th of June, and on the 3rd of July, I had the opportunity to brief the entire class on the power of character.
What did you tell them?
Well, I want to remind them that, you know, what made this country great was the values that we all are aware of, the values such as truth and honesty, the values such as respect, the values such as responsibility and justice and compassion, adherence to those values is what made this country great. So even though they have an honor code that says a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate others who do, and they have a motto that says duty, honor, and country, they still need to understand that to be an effective leader, you have to be trustworthy. Trust is the operative word in terms of relationships, in terms of leadership. And the consequence of that is, if you're not trustworthy, you're going to have a heck of a time being an effective leader.
Mm-hmm.
So you need both character and competence to be an effective leader. And what I talked to them about was that, look, we all learn competence the same way we should be learning character. We learn competence, our skills in school every day by somebody teaching us, by our embracing it, by our practicing it, and then by our teaching it.
It is something that can be learned and should be developed, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not something that you're automatically issued when you're born.
And concurrently should be taught along with the skills and competence. You don't necessarily have to teach competence on one track and character on another track. They ought to be taught on the same track, and that's what the military academy tries to do.
Is anything being taught? Do you think that there's anything being taught to any degree in our public school system about ethics and about moral courage? Are those kinds of things being taught?
No, it's tough. It's tough in public schools nowadays because, I do some seminars for teachers. They keep telling me they can't impose values on kids. You know, every time they talk about a particular value, somebody,
you don't let them get away with that, do you, Lynn?
I don't, not at all, because we're not imposing values. We're surfacing their values.
Right.
You know, we don't want to. We want to make sure that we teach kids the right things. But some teachers are very gun shy because the parents or one parent may get up in arms and sue them.
Right.
So it's important. It's important to have the guts to do what's right.
Right.
And moral courage. You just used the phrase moral courage. That's the operative phrase of this decade.
I want you to hold on to that thought, Lynn. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about moral courage. And I've got an example of devotion to the unenforceable that happened over the weekend at the Open in Scotland. I want to talk about it. Coming right back after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us.
Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need fun.
We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Lynn Morella, the author of In Search of Ethics. And Lynn, you got a new version of your book coming out, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's out. It's out about 3 weeks now.
Congratulations.
Can I tell folks how to get it?
Absolutely.
Well, there's a website, focusonethics.com. www.focusonethics.com, or they can call toll-free at 866-602-1476.
Now, this is the second edition of In Search of Ethics?
That's correct.
All right. And so, folks, I encourage you to check that out, and we'll give those coordinates out again in just a little bit later on in the show. Lynn, I wanted to tell – we were talking about moral courage when we went to the break, and I wanted to tell a little quick story that I think will set you up a little bit for what you're going to say about that. Over the weekend at the Open, Americans call it the British Open. It's also just called the Open at the Home of Golf in St. Andrews. David Toms was on a green about to putt, getting ready to putt, and as he stroked the ball, he said he thought the ball moved. And after it was over, after he did that. And folks, if you don't know golf, if you strike the ball, for example, if he hit the ball with a putter and it was moving, that would be a two-stroke penalty.
And so if it's moving before he hit it.
Yes, if it moved while he hit it. Okay. If it was moving while he hit it, it would be a two-stroke penalty. And so he said, "I think the ball moved." And so they went back later that day they videotaped the shot. Obviously, all those shots were on camera. They went back and they looked at it apparently many times, and it's my understanding that nobody could see the ball moving. So they said, "Well, we can't see the ball moving. So he signed his scorecard, went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, came in and disqualified himself because in his mind the ball moved, which means he should have taken a penalty, and because he signed his scorecard, he signed an incorrect scorecard because of his own beliefs, and therefore that's a disqualifying act, and he took himself out of the tournament. How about that?
That's great.
Talk about his devotion to the unenforceable story.
You know, Grantland Rice once told us, Jim, that when that great scorer comes to mark against your name, he'll mark not that you won or lost, but how you played the game.
Right.
And
right.
Apparently that young man will get...
Well, David Toms is one of the great young golfers, and he's well admired, and there are other stories out there. Folks, if you watch the PGA Tour, most of the time you'll see examples of devotion to the unenforceable. But talk to us a little bit about, having said that, Lynn, talk to us a little bit about moral character.
Well, when you think about the trend in our society, for example, this weekend I saw a movie called The Wedding Crashers. What a terrible show in terms of...
Why would anybody want to crash a wedding?
Well, this is all about crashing weddings and
right.
seducing women. And
I'm running away from weddings usually.
Well, the point is it was a very immoral movie and a terrible example for kids.
Right.
But the point is, we're talking about moral courage. When you think about dedication to your values, commitment to your values, sometimes it's a lot harder to do that. Oftentimes, the right thing is harder than the wrong thing. Matter of fact, most times it's easier just to go along with things and do the easier wrong rather than the harder right. And that's where moral courage comes in. That's where the necessity to to be committed to your values, the necessity to stand up for what you believe in, the necessity to maybe take it in the chops for your beliefs.
You know, Lynn, one of the things that I'm disappointed right now, very disappointed, is in the way our political class is behaving on both sides of the aisle. I'm not talking about one party or the other. But, you know, what upsets me is when an issue comes up that has an opportunity, a political advantage for the other one, but to take that political advantage basically requires that you deny the facts or that you basically disregard the facts, and if not deny them. And yet, instead of standing up and saying, you know what, this is a political issue, but it looks like there's nothing factual here, so let's move on to something important. Instead of doing that, the one side or the other tries to make political capital out, get political advantage out of it, and that's the opposite of moral courage.
You hit the nail right on the head, Jim. And matter of fact, there's some thought about a copy of my book going to every member of Congress.
Well, can I help deliver that? I'll go up there and deliver them myself if you let me.
Well, if this can be done, one of the exemplars in my book is a congresswoman from North Carolina, Sue Myrick, and she was on the ethics committee, and she's the one who I discussed with. I sent her a copy of the new edition, and she brought up the idea of how about a copy to every member of Congress. So we're working that right now. I'm letting her work that. I don't want to be intrusive in
right.
internal affairs of Congress.
Right.
And as you know, the Military Academy at West Point buys a copy of my book. They buy 1,500 copies of my book each year to give to every new cadet before they leave their homes to come to West Point.
Wow.
Makes it mandatory reading.
Wow. Congratulations.
So I guess somebody thinks there's something relevant in the book.
Absolutely. Well, what do we got to do besides a book to get these leaders to have this kind of moral courage?
Well, it's an uphill battle, Jim, because I think the trends are going in the wrong direction. You know, even though I see some positive signs here and there, the trends are still going in the wrong direction. And my concern is, as Dr. Rush Kidder said a few years ago, we may not survive the 21st century with the ethics of the 20th century. And that's a big concern of mine, because materialism, money, power, greed, pleasure, sex, all these things get people doing the wrong things. And if you're not a strong swimmer, the cultural tide of society is pulling us in the wrong direction. So if you're not a strong swimmer, you're going to wind up in the wrong place.
You know, though, Lynn, this is a situation where a handful of people could stand up, the right people could stand up and say, you know what, let's stop this. And those few handful of people could make a difference. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about how one person can make a difference. And we'll do that right after these messages. Lynn Morella is our guest. The book is called In Search of Excellence. I'm sorry, In Search of Ethics, now in its second edition. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Lynn Morella. His last name is spelled with two R's and two L's, Marrella. The book is In Search of Ethics, now out in its second edition, and congratulations. Folks, if it's second edition, that means the first one was really good. So congratulations on that, Lynn.
Well, thank you, Jim.
And give us the website again, please.
The website is for the book is focusonethics.com.
All right.
FocusOnEthics.com.
I hope you'll check that out, folks. And can they buy the book at Amazon and some of the other online stores?
Yeah, they can.
It's at your local bookstore. Ask for if you want to ask for it. In Search of Ethics, by Lynn Morella. Lynn, I was talking about how one person can make a difference, or a group of leaders can make a difference. And something is happening right now in England that I'm kind of heartened about. I've said for 3 or 4 years now. And I have quite a few friends in the Muslim community that I've accumulated over the years, and I've encouraged all of them in the last 4 years. You guys have to stand up, and not do anything to help the terrorists, the radical Islamists. You got to be outspoken against these people. You've got to say this cannot stand. You've got to point out that they're not following the Quran, that this is not something that they should be doing, that they're not going to heaven when they kill themselves and kill innocent people. And And now it seems like that may be happening in England. A group of Shiite clerics in England are repudiating this thing and saying basically what I just said. And that's got to happen all over the Muslim community in order to stop this wellspring of young men and women who are willing to do these evil things. And that's the kind of thing I think that we've got to have in the political world and in our business world. We've got to have a few people, leaders, to stand up and say, you know, this will not stand.
You know, Jim, all of us have parts good and parts bad in our makeup. And the side that we feed the most is the one that's going to prevail. So if you're feeding your good nature, your good side more than the bad side, you're going to do the right things. And that's where the power of example is so strong. Mm-hmm. To help illuminate the morality and competence that every individual has and get them to be leaning in the right direction as opposed to following the cultural tide of society. So I agree with you 100%. Never, 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 never underestimate the power of example. Never, never, never underestimate the power of character.
You know who gets my award for so far in the 21st century for leadership and moral courage? And it might surprise some people to hear me say this, but I think Tony Blair gets my award for that right now.
Well, I have to agree with you. He's been very courageous. He's taken some very unpopular stands, but he's tried the harder right rather than the easier wrong, and he followed one of his predecessors, you know, Winston Churchill in World War II. Was, if you remember his great expression of never, never, never give in except to a commitment to honor and good sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What would you say if someone is listening right now and they think, you know, well, maybe I could make a difference. Maybe I could be one of those people who stands up and says, you know, whether it be at a PTA or whether it be, you know, in their business in the marketplace in government, whatever. What would you say to them? How would you tell them to begin?
Well, first of all, I would tell them that you're the architect of your own character. And that people are irresistibly attracted to leaders of character. People will follow a leader of character and it doesn't have to be a positional leadership. You're a leader wherever you are, as a mother, as a father, as a son, as a student, as a teacher. And people will follow you through the fires of hell if they trust you and believe in you. Mm-hmm. And they won't follow you across the street if they don't believe in you. And so if you're credible and you care and you stand up for what's right, you'll be surprised how many people you can influence.
And that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean you have to always be right either, does it?
Absolutely. None of us are perfect.
You're
going to
fail. You can even fail and they will still do that.
I agree with you 100%, Jim. And I think people don't realize how much influence they have in their sphere of influence.
Well,
people are watching all the time. And even though they're not commenting, they know. When you stand up for something that's right, you'll be surprised how many people will fall in line behind you and say, yes.
Right.
Yes, yes, I want to follow that person. I want to do the right thing.
Folks, I'd like to encourage you to do one more thing, all the things that Lynn has just said. I'd encourage you to find his book, In Search of Ethics, now in its second edition. Even the first edition is still a great book, and there's nothing, no question about that. I encourage you to find that and study up on some of the moral courage that he reports about in this book that others have demonstrated. And that's one of the places I find my moral courage, Lynn, is when I see it in other people. And you're an example of one of those other people.
Well, thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you for being here, Lynn. Good job today. We'll see you
next time.
My pleasure,
Jim. I'm always delighted to be with you.
Thank you. Lynn Morella, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.